Okay. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Oh, good.
Well, last time I recorded shirtless, I think I might go pantsless this time.
Just going to leave it at that.
Well, by the end of the week, I might be completely nude while I'm podcasting. Just to spice things up a bit.
Would you shave?
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I'll shave from head to toe. Except for my feet. I have hobbit feet, and I love that.
Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for Tuesday, June 15th, 2010. It is day two of our E3 coverage. I am joined once again by Jeff Grubb.
Hi, everybody.
I'm AJ Minotti. I guess I should mention that too. And today we are going to primarily be looking at the Nintendo and Sony press conferences. We'll do a little bit of the EA and Ubisoft and other general E3 shenanigans as well. But yeah, let's just get right to it, shall we, Jeff?
Absolutely.
So Nintendo, I think, kind of shocked everybody with really just how good their conference was. It was awesome.
Yeah, and it's kind of crazy because they were the ones that have been benefiting from like this blue ocean mentality of appealing to non-gamers. And they're the ones that probably did the least or the most hardcore show out of the big three.
Yeah, it was strangely awesome. Yeah,
exactly. Strange awesome.
Or awesomely strange. So they came out and wasted no time getting into what everyone kind of wanted to see, which is the new Zelda. The Skyward Sword, excuse me. So they showed it, and it has this amazing art style, which is kind of like Twilight Princess meets Wind Waker,
right,
but a little
middle.
More painterly than cartoony.
Yes, it was right in the middle, and it's perfect. It looks so good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. So they had Miyamoto being, like, it was a pre-recording that was being dubbed of him talking a little bit about it. Then, like, he made his grand appearance on the stage to demo the game, which the live demo was a little bit of a disaster.
Yeah, I think what happens is, have you ever, like, played, like, your Wii in like, the middle of the day and pointed it at the sun and the thing gets all crazy and doesn't know where the hell it is?
Yeah, but I don't even think it was that, because like he was even saying, it doesn't rely on the IR sensor for tracking. It's all motion plus.
Okay,
all
right. Well, then, yeah, then it definitely wasn't that.
It was just wireless interference, because I've heard reports from people on the floor saying it's fine, and it was technical problems and everything like that.
Yeah, no one really seemed like they were – everyone's like, yeah, we get it. Like, we're not really doubting. We've used Wii Sports Resorts.
Yeah, and that was kind of my takeaway from this game. I'm sure it's going to be great, but it's still – it's very – traditional for all its Wii Motion Plus enhancement. It's still basically enhanced Twilight Princess to me.
It looks like that's pretty much what it's going to be, but I do think that they can sort of Super Mario Galaxy the crap out of Zelda to the point where you're doing something different each and every level, evolving the controller, and they're pretty much packing in all the things they learned from Wii Sports Resort in Zelda, which... you know, it could become annoying, but if they do it right, and, you know, I think I have a little bit of faith in them to do that right, it could be very, very well done. You know, it's probably going to be the Zelda, you know, 8 dungeons, collecting one thing in each dungeon. But if they're doing enough things different, I mean, I'm not going to complain. I do love those games, but I do understand that people are tired of them.
There's something else I was going to say about that, and I completely forgot what it is.
No, my bad.
No, I mean, it's fine. I was like, oh, I know what I'm going to say when he's done talking. Shit. Like, my head's swirling trying to keep track of everything that happened.
Oh, I know. Yeah, my head's been in the news all day. And
I apologize
to
our readers, because I'm sure I'm going to forget something as we're talking too. Okay, so yeah, we had the new Zelda. It's going to be good. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I just noticed as I'm watching this, I almost get this sense now that they made Wii Sports Resort to playtest every mechanic in this new game.
Yes, I would completely agree with that. And they're like,
sword fighting is right out of Wii Sports Resort. The bow and arrow,
bomb throwing,
bowling, the bombs.
Yeah,
it's all right out of it, which is fine because I actually had a lot of fun with a lot of that stuff in Wii Sports Resort. I almost found it interesting that like it really seemed like that was the case. Like, let's make this Wii Sports Resort, see if everything works, and then put it in the Zelda.
I think it's a great idea. I think if they're going to take Zelda and use the Wii Motion Plus, then that's what they have to do, and just sort of involve all those concepts into the game. And they can all work. They can make them all work, and they can just, if they design the puzzles around those, it's going to be awesome.
You know, I don't even have the order written down, so I'm probably going out. But the next thing that they announced that really piqued my interest is the new Kirby game called Kirby's Epic Yarn.
That looked beautiful, too.
This came out of nowhere, and oh my god, is it awesome looking.
Yeah, so it's like this really cool art design that they used.
Yeah, it looks like everything's made out of stitchwork. And I have to say, of every game I've seen at E3 so far, this might actually be the best-looking game.
In a purist level, I agree.
It's just like, yeah, like just the style of it, it works for the Wii, it doesn't require HD graphics. The animation in it is absolutely astounding. This is going to be really cool. I really want this game.
And the twerk is not just an art style. Also, it's like it's like a little rug that's laying against the backboard, and as you're playing with it, like you can stitch pieces of the level together to like bring it together and jump over it. It looks interesting, very very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Man, how good that press conference, man.
I know. The other highlight for me was Warren Spector coming out to demo Epic Mickey.
Yeah, now I want to hear what you have to say about this, because I know this is right up your alley, so.
Oh, God. Well, first of all, I was pissed because, like, they started the gameplay demo where they were showing the 2D conversation scenes, but, like, G4 had the camera on the two guys on stage. I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And, like, they, like, just caught the end of it, so I didn't get a really good look at it. But I do like that concept, how, like, for conversation, it's like this kind of dirty 2D style. It was hard to hear, but it sounds like it is the case that they're going to use kind of the Banjo-Kazooie gibberish for everyone talking instead of actual voice acting. But yeah, so then they showed just kind of, I mean, what they actually showed on stage wasn't anything too titillating, I guess. It was just like a guy basically vamping
like a good
for
platformer.
Time running around spraying paint thinner and paint while Warren Spector talked. Yeah, that's like, as a quick aside, I think like the one thing I've learned from E3 this year is I'd much rather have good, well put together trailers or pre-recorded gameplay sequences than these live demos, because inevitably something always goes wrong, and quite frankly, a lot of the time they're just not that exciting.
Yeah, everyone gets Steve Jobbed, which is the new term now, which is what happened to Miyamoto.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But even like I said, I mean, this Epic Mickey live demo was literally the guy running around trying to think of things to do. Like, it didn't even seem like he rehearsed it. Like, he was just jumping on this platform, painting it, unpainting it, jumping back on it. He fell off. Like, I would have rather seen, like, something put together that really showed off the game, I think. Or even, you know, both. Why not? But still.
Yeah, but it's...
Okay.
I guess, I mean, I'm just glad they showed some of the game instead of not having just, like, even as beautiful as they are, like, the Old Republic trailers that they keep showing. Like, there's plenty of live gameplay footage they could show, but they're just going to keep showing those things.
Well, they've showed a lot of live gameplay footage from Tor, at least.
Right, we'll and they continue to, but it's right, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, my big takeaway though from watching the Epic Mickey footage is, I know it was one thing they talked about in the first Game Informer articles for the game, but they really have done a great job of getting the whole squash and stretch dynamic of animation to the game. Like, the way Mickey moved through the environment was awesome. Like, they totally got that right.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a really good platformer. Although it's one of those games I'm going to want to hear what people played, I think. So, anyhow.
Yeah. Oh, what other game? I mean, honestly, it was just like this like deluge of games. It was crazy.
It's just going, like, thinking about it now, it's really, really crazy how much happened in such a short amount of time.
Yeah, we got, let's get the casual stuff out of the way, I guess. We had a first Wii Party, which is basically Mario Party with Miis instead of Mario.
Right, there's not to say about
the only thing
that
I didn't like is like the like build up to that game is they're talking about how Nintendo has all these bridge games that are bringing gamers into the fold, and then they move on to other games. I'm just kind of sitting there watching, like, no, they don't.
Well, they have like, I mean, the best selling games are like new Super Mario Brothers Wii and like the other one. He did mention the other one. I can't remember off how top Mario Kart. Yeah, and those games just
Mario
keep selling
Kart.
And selling.
Yeah, but it's not like people have been. He made it sound like people were buying and playing Mario Kart and then moving on to, you know, something like Forza or something. Like, that's not the case.
Yeah, it's a bridge to nowhere, but yeah.
Right, right. But, you know, there was that, and then there was the Mario Sports
Mario Sports
thing,
Mix, and I been playing Mario Galaxy 2 and wanting this game. It has hockey in it. I keep saying to myself how good the skating is in Super Mario Galaxy 2. I just want a Mario hockey game. I would have even taken a Mario figure skating game just because the ice skating mechanic was so good in Mario Galaxy 2. So I'm stoked. I'm ready for it. And the basketball looks kind of like NBA Jam. And the fact that they're throwing all these games into one game and not making me buy like four separate games, I'm totally cool with that. I'll buy it now instead of like just being like, oh, I'll get to one of those games eventually where I just ignore it completely because I'm not going to spend $50 just one of those games.
Right. Do you think, though, because it's like a whole bunch of games in one, will they be all as well fleshed out as, say, like Mario Golf was?
Well, or? Mario Golf is like the one example where it's like super fleshed out because those are RPGs, correct? But I think they'll be fleshed out as like Strikers or whatever. They don't even need to be that fleshed out as Strikers was. They just need to be fun multiplayer experiences with like a little bit of a single player to keep you busy. So I think it's definitely focus on the multiplayer, which if they do that, I'll be fine with it.
All right. We also had the GoldenEye. I don't know if it's a remake or a reimagining. I think it's more of a reimagining by the way they're showing it. This trailer actually leaked last night, and I'd seen it already, so it wasn't quite the big shocker to me. But still, I find it looking strangely good. Like, I didn't think I'd want this, but I watched the trailer. I'm like, yeah, I'll get that.
I'm sorry, which trailer do people at work keep eyeing me?
Oh, GoldenEye.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm interested. I can't believe it. I'm so kind of confused. It's a remake, but they have Daniel Craig and Activision's making it and selling it at retail?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I mean, based on what was shown, I don't remember a lot of that from ye old GoldenEye. I'm thinking that it's more of like a reimagining. Like, it's being built from the ground up. It's not like a reskinned HD remake with a different Bond model. You know what I mean?
Yeah, all right. Well, that's weird, but I guess I'm okay with it. I mean, what else are they going to do?
So. Yeah, and it'll have split screen and online multiplayer. I'm sure people will be happy about that. I like their little canned focus groups in the beginning, where they're asking people, like, what's the best shooter of all time? And they all unanimously happen to answer GoldenEye. like no one would say Halo. I think that would have been funny if there was, like, one guy in the back of the room who was like, Halo? Okay, get out. let's see. I think that's pretty much it for the Wii games. We had one lone DS game shown, Golden Sun Dark Dawn. Which, okay. This is kind of like what Mike was saying with Fire Emblem last week. I think the 2D Game Boy Advance titles look better than the 3D ones on DS.
Yeah, and it was like right before like the big 3DS reveal, so kind of got swallowed between the Wii stuff and that. It just doesn't look as good because they're trying to make it 3D, which is tough to look at on that small screen. And
yeah, it doesn't help when they blow up the trailer to be shown on like a TV screen. Right. And it's like eight times the resolution it should be.
Yeah. I mean, it would probably be a good game. I liked Golden Sun enough. It's like one of the few. I think it might be the only JRPG without Mario in the title that I beat. So.
No, that's cool. So, we got through all these games. Everyone's very happy. Then we got to the other thing we were all expecting. The announcement of the Nintendo 3DS, which it seems like that is going to be the official name.
It is, yes. That is the official name.
Cool. So they had Iwata come out to show it. And I said this yesterday. I hate it when he comes out because he kills all the momentum.
When he came out, I'm like, English, and he hadn't.
Well, you know, he comes, hello, everybody. I would like to introduce to you...
You're going too fast. It's not an Iwata
the
right there.
Nintendo... 3DS. And I'm like, oh my god, dude. I don't even think it's him fighting for the words. Like, there was a pause before Nintendo 3DS. Yeah. Like, he should have that down. And, you know, it's just, he's explaining the specs of the system. I honestly had a kind of a hard time understanding what he was talking about sometimes. I had to go read all the write-ups.
Yeah, I think he was waiting for cheers sometimes, but everyone's like, as quiet as possible, so they make out every little he's saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very difficult to understand him.
But you wrote a very lovely write-up at Comic.com about everything we do and don't know about the 3DS. So would you like to hit that up?
I guess we could just do most of the highlights. I found interesting. I found a lot of this stuff on Nintendo's site, so I know it's official. This isn't the official final build, so what people think of could change, probably only slightly. Chances are they might move like a button around or something like that, or just pretty the body itself. I don't expect it to change too much. But basically, it's DS with an analog nub that people are saying feels a lot better than the PSP nub. There is a widescreen, which is where the all 3D happens, and the touchscreen on the bottom, which is pretty much just like the original DS screen, and it's not widescreen. It looks pretty much standard. There's a home button on it, like the Wii, and a slider button on the right-hand side, which controls the intensity of the 3D effect on the top screen. So I guess if you turn it all the way down, it goes from 3D to 2D. So if it's bothering you, giving a headache, you can handle the 3D for some reason, which I don't expect a problem, but some people might, you know, have an issue with that, they could turn it off. So that, you know, kind of cancels out any problems anyone has with stereoscopic vision. On the bottom, that's pretty much just all your standard buttons, the D-pad, face buttons, the shoulder buttons, I guess, were a little bit smaller. People worried about that, cramping up hand, the power buttons on the face as well. But like I said, these things could use, this is not the final build. Top screen has an 800 by 240 pixel resolution, which is pretty much like a like your standard smartphone right now, 3.5 inch. You know, I expect that they kind of undercut the size of this so that they could release the XL version, you know, a year from now with a 5-inch screen. I won't be surprised at all if they do that. So I don't know. What do you think?
It's pretty much exactly what I wanted. Like, oh, yeah. Yay. And what, yes, I love, too, is the reports of everyone who used this thing at E3. It works. I guess it does have that kind of sweet spot. You need to hold it in if you go too far, too close. It messes up the vision, but as long as you're in that sweet spot, they say like the effect is, it's even better than 3D with glasses because the glasses kind of dim things a little bit, and so you don't have any of that.
Yeah, and I have to imagine it just has to feel like a cleaner, better experience than the Avatar 3D that everyone's become used to and accustomed to, and now what Sony wants to make 3D. We'll get to that later.
Mm-hmm. I also found interesting the way they described the kind of wireless strategy with it. It takes the concept that a few DS games use, like Nintendogs and what was the Square Enix game that everybody liked but me? Where you the top and bottom. You. Yeah, that's the one. They use that kind of sleep mode wireless communication thing to exchange game data with people you were walking by, but you both had to have the same game on in sleep, and it really didn't happen outside of things like PAX.
Right, it was set, but it never happened in real life.
Right. So what the 3DS does is it's just universal. As long as you play the game, it can send and receive the data from that game, presumably stored somewhere in the system, wherever you are when you're walking around. What it sounded like they were kind of hinting at to me, and again, it was hard. I'm trying to interpret this from what Iwata was saying on the show, was that you could virally spread DLC with this. And what I mean is, like, let's say I don't have any access to wireless at home, and I'm not going to, like, take my 3DS to Starbucks just so I could get online. But someone else has gone on Nintendo Wi-Fi Connect and has downloaded Ghost Data or something like that for the new Mario Kart. Then if I walk by that person just by happenstance, that DLC that they downloaded from the internet then gets passed on to me without me even having to do anything. So even without having a Wi-Fi connection, you're able to get DLC.
Yeah, it's going to be... I'm glad they're doing this. This is like the promise of like Wii 24 Connect and all those like Nintendo games that did that kind of stuff, like with the potential for it to actually happen in real life. And I'm going to be interested to see how well it works. If it works like they say it does, it's going to create some interesting things. Hopefully there's not a lot of worries about like personal made content and a lot of like people drawing wieners and those ending up in other people's games and stuff like that. I'm sure they've thought about that because it's Nintendo. I guess one of the other big thing that kind of came out of nowhere is, and I think people were just kind of wowed by it, Nintendo is going to be providing in some way, they didn't describe or, you know, how much, but Hollywood movies in 3D on the Nintendo 3DS. Yeah.
That was
which
pretty crazy. I guess, like, in the back of my head, I thought that might be an option, but I didn't really think... I don't know, like, it, for some reason it seemed like, yeah, they could do that, but they probably won't, but they did.
Yeah, and it kind of... It's going to be interesting how they do stuff, and they didn't specify... I mean, there's an SD card slot, but whether the store is going to be built in, or if you're going to have to get special digital copies from the disc, or it's going to be... going to be weird. And if they do a store that has, you know, digital downloads, you know, via their Wi-Fi connection, that's going to open up a lot of possibility. Especially since it's not something Nintendo's really done before. They've had their games, but they haven't really gone beyond virtual console and WiiWare and stuff like that. Interested to see how this turns out.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. I'm losing my voice already today. Jeez. Anyway, and of course, it is fully backwards compatible with the previous DS games. Of course, no word if you'll be able to transfer DSi purchases to it. Right. My guess would be no.
Yeah, the things we don't know are release date, the price point, whether or not we'll be able to transfer DSiWare games. And like you said, probably not. That just doesn't seem like Nintendo. There's no info on the built-in software, what it's going to be, any idea like that. And we don't know the final hardware. So those are the main things we don't know.
Yeah, my guess, because at the show itself, we'll talk about it in a second. There's a pretty long list of games in development, but not a lot was shown. And I guess there is more stuff being shown at the show floor. But just the kind of vagueness of all that makes me think that this is probably going to be like an April 2011 kind of thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Which is when the original DS came out. Wasn't it about that time frame?
Yeah, that sounds about April. Right.
Yeah. It doesn't need to have like a holiday launch for it to sell. It will sell regardless. And my guess for price, this is me just being clairvoyant, I'm going to say about $180.
They've kind of built up the price scale saying, well, you pay this much for a DS, well, then you should probably pay 160 Si. Oh, and you'll pay 160 for a DSi, then you're probably going to want to pay 180 for a DIXL. And now that they've built us up and made it clear in our heads that we should be paying this much for that kind of technology, when the 3DM's out, we'll be all ready and primed for them to charge 180 for us. And
the one other thing here we didn't talk about yet is the way cameras work on this thing, because it has a front-facing camera like the DSi. Yes. And it has...
And this is probably going to be a huge deal. Just like 3D movies, this is going to be a huge deal.
Two outward-facing cameras for taking 3D photographs. Ah! Oh, are you kidding me? Because that is awesome.
Well, it's going to be... Like, this is going to popularize 3D in a way that no one else has planned on doing it. Sony thinks they're going to popularize it by charging $6,000 for TVs. That's not how you do it. You get people involved on a ground, taking family photos that they want to view in front of the screen, and then they buy the TV. You give them the content that they're creating themselves, and that's how you're going to get involved in this. That is going to be just a huge deal, I think. People are going to want to have 3D for the rest of their lives after this.
Yeah. I guess the way it works is, like, as you're taking pictures, you use the analog stick to adjust the depth of the focal point. Like, I just can't wait to play with that. Like, oh, that's so cool. I didn't even think of that. Like, I don't know, just the concept of 3D photography just doesn't really exist in my head yet. And
yeah, it's going to really change that, too. It's going to change, like, photography classes. And
I know, because can you imagine that catches on to the more high-end equipment that people have? Because, I mean, you know, like HD filming is just kind of now hitting a mainstream point with, especially like all the DSLR cameras that can film in HD, and there's, you know, the camcorders for the more casual people who want to shoot HD. But if you would have asked me, when do you think you'll be doing 3D filming, I would have told you that's a ways off, especially for the average person. But, I mean, I don't think this will do video, but at least photography, like, there it is. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah, probably not, but it's pretty much a software solution. You put two cameras side by side, and then you do all the processing in the software. If you have a screen to show it, it shouldn't be too difficult. So it's not going to be too much more expensive other than the fact that the evidence is. And on high-end cameras, that is going to get expensive. But, yeah, people, you know, it's going to end up in high-end equipment really, really quick, because people are going to get the idea of 3D photography in their head. It's going to be a gimmick that, you know, people are going to want their weddings shot in 3D. They're not going to care about the 2D, whether, you know, the photographer is all artsy about it. They're going to want their stuff in 3D because people like that kind of stuff. So it's going to be a huge, far-reaching deal.
So after they were done talking hardware, they revealed what they teased last year's Project Sora is, in fact, if you can hardly believe it, a brand new Kid Icarus game called Kid Icarus Uprising for the 3DS.
This is so crazy. It's like, I can't believe they actually made a Kid Icarus game.
It was great, too, in the trailer. He comes flying by, and he's like, sorry to keep you waiting.
Such a bad voice acting. But, yeah, like, what is a Kid Icarus game? Like, the original Kid Icarus.
That's the thing. I played a ROM of the original Kid Icarus a few years ago. It wasn't
good. And it's, like, just this, like, a vertical, weird platforming game, and it's This new game's nothing like that, so it's not really a curious game. It's has Kid Icarus in it. But, you know, the fans don't really realize that that's what they mean. They just want the cure. You know, it could have been anything. It doesn't matter. So it's just kind of silly. And then Nintendo's like, whatever. We have this character laying around. Why not use it? Mm-hmm. So it's called something else in Japan. Because Japanese don't care about Kid Icarus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called.
That's funny. But they showed the trailer for the games. And this is really our first look at the 3DS's graphical capabilities. Looks about Wii quality to me.
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of pictures on e3.nintendo/3DS. Of pretty much all the games that have been announced. It looks at least Wii quality, and some look a little bit better, like Splinter Cell and things like that.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I'm watching that trailer, and of course I'm trying to visualize it in my head as being 3D. There's a lot of like fast flying around through like these like canyons and environments like that. And I kept thinking, did you see How to Train Your Dragon?
No, I haven't, but one of the trailers showing on the floor. So.
Yeah, well, there's a scene in that movie where, like, the kid and the dragon are kind of taking, like, their first flight, I guess, and they're flying through all these stone arches. And that scene in 3D at the theater was really cool. Like, because you had that really sense of kinetic depth, I guess I'd call it. And it was very exhilarating just to watch. And so now I try to imagine playing something like that. It's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah.
Like, really cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's on the smaller screen, I think they're going to have to rethink about how they're playing in 3D, because it's going to be more about depth of field and like zooming through and stuff like that, because you probably won't have that quite that same effect. But if they could pull that off, if that's how good it is, then this is going to be a big deal. I can't wait to have one and like have like one of those casual gamers come across my shoulder and say, hey, what you're playing, and like show it to them and like see the reactions on their faces when they're like, what's going on? What if did I break my brain?
Yeah, well, that brings me to the next thing I was going to talk about is, you know, Nintendo themselves admitted, like, it's hard to explain and show this technology at something like E3. You know, we're up here on a stage. We can't really show it to you from here. If you're watching at home, we can't show it to you. They had, like, that little commercial that was kind of goofy and funny.
I giggled.
With, like, you know, everyone getting sucked into it. But here's what I was saying. They need to get a partnership with either GameStop or Toys R Us or whoever. And, like, ideally, I would like them to do it by like the end of summer, but I know it probably won't happen that fast. They just need to get like a behind glass prototype hardware of a 3DS that's just running a video loop, so that you can just walk into a store and just see the screen for yourself, and build up the hype for the technology that way. I think that would be a really smart move on their
part. I think that's their only option, really, and they're probably going to end up doing something just like
that.
They
have to, because there's no other way of advertising this. There just isn't.
Yeah, I mean, they're gonna come up with a good marketing scheme for TV, but they're just not gonna get their point across until people see it with their own eyes, and then the word of mouth spreads, and people are like, "You got to come see this thing I saw at Walmart or whatever." So
we have a huge list of games, many of which are being shown. It's either playable or non-playable form on the show floor in 3D. In addition to Kid Icarus, there's 10 Dogs and Cats. It appears they are remaking Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater for the 3DS, which, oh my god, yes. There's a new Resident Evil game, a new Animal Crossing, of course there's a new Mario Kart, a new Paper Mario, something called Pilot Wings Resort, and, wait for it, Star Fox 64 3D. Fuck yes. Oh my god.
But what do you mean something called Pilot Wings Resort? Pilot Wings, huh? Right?
Pilot Wings? I was being facetious. I'm stoked for that. I love Pilot Wings.
Okay, yeah. I was about to punch you right in the throat.
No.
Star Fox 64, though, like everyone was calling that, saying that'd be a perfect game. And they didn't really announce it during the show, but afterwards. And I'm like,
yeah,
oh,
there's
yes,
screenshots and like
great.
The bottom screen, it doesn't even do anything. It's just like a constant reminder of the controls.
Right.
like that's all the bottom screen is, and that's all.
Almost all the games they've shown have had the bottom screen blank with just the Nintendo 3DS logo. At this point, they're just admitting this is just a touchscreen input. This is like another control thing. It's why it's on the bottom half. And most of the gameplay and all the games is going to put up wide 3D screen. So.
And I'm perfectly fine with that. And I'm sure people will make creative uses of both screens.
Right.
But
they want people are going to want 3D more than dual screens. That's what people care about. So,
So let's see. Let me just shoot through this list. Yeah. We have Steel Diver. That's something Nintendo's making. Submarine, I don't know what it is. Okay. DJ Hero 3D, The Sims 3, a new Professor Layton, new Ridge Racers, new Kingdom Hearts, Dead or Alive, Samurai Warriors. What else is nowhere here? Street Fighter 4 is coming to it. Splinter Cell Chaos Theory and Ghost Recon. It's really impressive.
Yeah. There's a few others.
Like, lot of people are jumping on this.
If all these games come out in the first month to 3 months of when it releases, that's going to be...
Oh, huge.
It's going to be a lot of games that I'm going to be buying.
Good grief. I mean, it really is, like, everything I could have wanted, like, and more. Honestly, just Star Fox 64 3D alone is enough to get me to buy this thing.
Looks really good, too. I mean, the pictures look really good.
Yeah, I mean, it's still the N64 graphics, but, like, you know, when you take it to that resolution. You just have to picture that flying through that game in 3D is going to be so good. You know, so one thing we didn't mention, too, I guess, is that the system does include gyroscopes and things like that.
Oh, yeah, tilt sensor and gyroscope, like the iPhone 4. Which, you start, like, I guess that comparison is probably going to be made sooner than later. If Nintendo's planning on battling Apple in some way, they did sort of one-up them with the 3D in the 3D movies. I still think they're going to have a problem with the software side and getting all that stuff digitally distributed, but if they can get that figured out, they're going to be well-placed to at least have a technological advantage in one way or the other.
All right, anything else from Nintendo you want to talk about?
Nothing. My mind's fried.
Okay, so cool. Nintendo's press conference was amazingly awesome. Like, was not expecting that, but so glad it happened.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so we will now move to Sony. Now, I didn't actually get to watch Sony's press conference because I had to go to work. I read live blogs and Twitters on it, but you watched it, so I'm going to let you kind of drive this one, and I'll chirp in.
Well, they started off, like, with their... you know, sizzler reel, and there were a lot of 3D glasses laying around the place, so we kind of had a feeling of what it was going to be about. And their first game they showed was Killzone 3, and the guy came out and talked about it. Really good. It looks like Killzone, and apparently the whole thing was in 3D to everyone that was there in attendance, I believe, and a lot of people were considering that, you know, this is really awesome watching this amazing 3D experience, five-story tall screen. Like, could do this every day, they totally would. This blows away, like, people were saying it blew away Avatar, things like that. But, you know, not much other than, you know, Killzone 3. The guys not really be bringing too much new to, I don't know, I wasn't too excited for it, but then again, I didn't really like Killzone too much when I played it. Let's see. They went through and they reiterated their upcoming 3D compatibility. There's going to be a Sly Cooper collection, which is all the Sly Cooper games remade, put together, in a 3D compatible title.
This leaked last night, too. Someone grabbed a picture of the Sony booth or something.
Yeah, 1UP did, and they asked them to take it down. It looks pretty good. I haven't played any Sly Cooper games, so I'm excited for that, actually.
Yeah, I actually haven't. I played them, but I actually sat down, owned a copy, and played through it.
People swear by it.
So I'll be excited to check that out. Yeah, they do. People really like this.
Let's see here, the 3D compatible titles. Killzone 3, MotorStorm Apocalypse, iPet, MLB 10 The Show, The Fight, Lights Out, Crisis 2, Tumble, Dawn of Evolution, the new Mortal Kombat game, which surprised some people, and Gran Turismo 5, as well as Sly Cooper. We'll get to Gran Turismo 5 near the end, because that was probably the most impressive thing. But the new Mortal Kombat game, they showed that for a little bit, and that looked pretty good. I don't know, did you see
that? I just saw the trailer for it from last week when they announced it.
Right. Right, yeah, it was pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
Not much new there. They also showed, after a while, you know, Jack Tritton was saying how Kevin Butler was, you know, we're going to have him co-host because he was taking all his ink and he was acting like he was jealous. But Kevin Butler did come out, he did his little speech, and all the geeks were loving it and everyone cracking up. And he made it, like, really, like, he was trying to make it hunching, but, you know, just kind of being facetious. It was really well done, even it was sort of talking about games. He was just talking about how people should, like, get over themselves and stop complaining about motion controls because we're all gamers and we should all just enjoy gaming, which is a pretty good sentiment, but it just seemed kind of like Sony using their good PR guy right now to be like, okay, maybe we can get these people to stop complaining if we have Kevin Butler tell them to stop complaining.
Yeah, that's, like, I was reading all the impressions of Sony, it sounded like everyone said that was the highlight, and I was like, but from what I'm reading, he didn't actually show anything. He just talked. And they're like, well, yeah.
He did not show anything. It was like, there is no Kevin Butler game. So, yeah. Let's see. Other than that, they talked about PlayStation Network Plus, which is going to be their $50 a year a premium service which operates kind of like Rhapsody, the music service, where if you have a subscription, you get to download DLC for free, in quotes, because if you cancel your subscription, it's, and the DLC you downloaded is gone, vanished. Likely you'll be back if you re-sign up, but it's sort of an interesting take on the DLC monthly subscription.
Yeah, I was wondering that, though. I wonder if it does come back if you re-sign up, or if, like, you have to start over. They didn't really answer that.
Well, I mean, I gotta imagine it's just sort of, like, log there in the background, and then, I mean, it's because it's, once you sign back up, it's not like it's going to cost you anything to download that stuff again,
right.
So they might not just be, like, sitting there, but it's probably going to remember what you downloaded, just because it would make it easier for the system. I guess we skipped over a few things. There was the Move stuff. They showed Tiger Woods, which looked really good working with Move.
Does it look like it's substantially different than the Wii version, just in high def?
It's in high def, and it is not substantially different, but the one-to-one is, like, it's really impressive. Because, he is just moving the club around, and the club was following the character around, like, one-to-one perfectly. So I was impressed by that, but I'm not really sure, after Tiger was 10, the Wii Plus, whether a lot of people are still going to be impressed by that. And they showed a sorcery game where...
I heard this was cool.
This was cool, because it's basically, it looked a lot like Eric Harry Potter, where you're running around, and again, with the one-to-one motion, only this time he's holding a wand, and it's like, just flicked his wrist, and it caught it perfectly every time. No technical difficulties this time with the move. Everything looked like it was working perfectly, and it looks like it's going to work every time. And he would flick his wrist, and it would target where he meant it to target, or there was auto-targeting. I couldn't really tell either way. And he also said, you know, depending on where you flick your wrist, overhand, it's going to do one spell. If you go underhand, it's going to change, like, the intensity of the spell. So it looks really cool. It just kind of looks like a sort of hack-and-slash Harry Potter-type game, which could be interesting. I think it looked really neat.
They had the Move pricing and the release date.
Yes, they did. They did everything with Move. Let's see. They had... It was bizarre because everyone else, when they announced their new stuff, didn't announce pricing or release date. So the Move is coming out in North America on September 19th. It's going to be $49.99 just for the controller, $29.99 for the navigation controller, which is what the new sub-controller, that's the new name for the sub-controller, or nunchuck, whatever you're going to call it. If you get it bundled, if you get the Move controller, the navigation controller, and the game bundled with Sports Champions, which is their Wii Sports, it is $99.99.
Wait, is that bundle, is that the sub-controller and the wand, or is it the wand and the camera, I thought, with the game?
Oh, you're right. You're right. That is. It's
okay.
Is there a bundle with the navigation controller?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's right. That's what makes sense. Okay, and then with the Move controller, the camera, Sports Champions, and a PlayStation 3, it is $399.99. So, I think that's about right. Maybe a little bit expensive on everything.
Well, here I kind of did some dirty math on Twitter earlier today. If you're starting from zero, and you want, you just have a PlayStation 3, and you want the full Move experience, because some games, they've made it very plain, use two of the primary Move controllers, but some will use the navigation controller. So let's just say to start, you're at $99 for a Move and the camera, and it comes with a game. Then you throw in another $30 for your navigation controller, you're up to $130. Then you throw in another $50 for the second Move controller, which, if you want to say a complete Move experience, it's $180 when you really break it down like that.
Yeah, and that is pretty expensive.
Because everyone's calling gloom and doom at the rumors of a $150 price point for Natal, or excuse me, Kinect, which I'll talk about that a little more later. But quite frankly, when you put the two side by side, plus, you know, Kinect, it works for everybody. You just need one Kinect for however many players the game supports. You're going to need to buy an additional $50 controller for each multiple player with the Move setup. So it's like initially cheaper, but it gets more expensive. Kind of just like the way the Xbox was positioned against the PlayStation 3 at launch. The 360 initially does look cheaper, but then by the time you added, you know, the wireless adapter and an HD DVD player to it, it became more expensive than the PS3.
I think I'm going to do this feature on Combo now. You're right. I'm going to compare. If you have a four-member family and you want to play motion games, a complete, like, motion game experience with all four members of your family, what's the cheapest route? The Wii, the Kinect, or the Move? I think that'll be illuminating. So I'm going to do that when we're done here.
Cool.
Okay, I think they showed some PSP games after that. They showed God of War, a few other ones. I kind of zoomed past this. I head down doing some news during this. But
No PSP 2.
Definitely no PSP 2. They were focused
instead,
on
they
PSP.
Announced a new PSP marketing campaign with, like, the kid version of Kevin Butler.
Yes, Kevin Butler, and then the snarky talking black kid from Role Models, which he's a funny actor, and they make a good team. And it was funny, but it's just not what works. The 3DS. 3DS totally would have stolen any momentum anyhow, so it's probably best they didn't announce it. It's probably better they do save it for TGS, but they're dead in the water more so.
Do you think it will happen at TGS, or, like, are we maybe still another year away from a PSP 2 announcement?
You know, at this point, with them not saying anything, I won't be surprised if it doesn't happen at TGS. If it's going to happen, I think they have to do it sooner rather than later. Unless I can't imagine them just letting the PSP line die.
But, like, if they don't do anything, that's what's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, the PSP couldn't compete with the DS. There's no way it's going to compete with the 3DS.
That's going to, I mean, it has so much momentum at this point, and it's just going to rise from here.
But you know what's interesting I just thought of? Everyone, like, was saying with the PSP 2, it better have a second analog nub. But the 3DS only has one analog stick. I wonder if people are going to complain about that.
Yeah, they probably will.
I think they'll have the advantage that 3DS games won't be ports of PS2 games as much, right. But I don't know, they might
right.
be.
That's why PSP games always got ported to the Wii, because the Wii didn't have a right analog stick either. No one complains about that, though, for some reason. I don't know why. But,
yeah.
They'll probably be fine. They'll probably, somehow Nintendo will make it make sense. Other than that new marketing scheme, they moved on to their special relationship with, I think, 3 EA games. They had one EA guy come out after another. The first one was Medal of Honor, which has the spaceship that might sound familiar if you played Modern Warfare and you know anything that's going on with them in Activision. Xbox 360, where all the DLC comes out there first, and they have special deals, and it seems like Microsoft's giving them some money to make sure that all the stuff regarding Modern Warfare 2 comes out to the Microsoft console first. It looks like Sony's trying to do the same thing with Medal of Honor on their console. They talked about some DLC. Beyond that, they talked about unlockable beards, which I'm very excited for. I think most of the squad guys will be excited for that too. That's going to be interesting. Then after that, they had Dead Space 2 come, and they finished the play sequence they started yesterday at the EA event. And I think they talked about some DLC from them too as well.
I think what's interesting is that the PS3 version of Medal of Honor will come with an HD remake of Medal of Honor Frontline.
Right, that's part of the, yeah, that's the one come to PS3.
Yeah, and then, because then Dead Space 2 comes with Dead Space Extraction with move support, which I think is kind of cool.
The big announcement, I think, because they had Valve come out, they had, name? Yeah, Gabe Newell came out, and he said he didn't want Sony to punch him in the face because he hasn't been supporting the PS3 so far, but now he is. Portal 2 is officially coming to PlayStation 2.
And I think even more significant than Portal 2 coming is the announcement of the fact that it's going to use Steamworks on the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like this is like a complete 360 from, complete 180 yeah. from what they were doing before. I'm pretty sure there was some bad blood, and even maybe Newell himself had said some bad things about the PlayStation 3. That's completely interesting. It'd be Sony have gone to them and said, "Hey, what can we do to make this work?" Mm-hmm. I guess.
I just, you know, they said it's still kind of vague what exactly the Steamworks implementation is, but they did say like patching and DLC and community features. And I started thinking, I was tweeting this just before we started recording. Honestly, and I don't mean this to be snarky at all, Sony should just partner with Valve and bring Steam full-blown to the PS3 as part of PSN. Everyone wants the cross-game chat, the easier patching of games, everything like that. Let Valve do it.
Just partner with Valve and put them in charge of that.
Seriously. Because clearly,
they would happily do it.
It's been how long, and we still don't have cross-game chat on the PS3. Let Valve do it. They'll do it, and they'll do it right. Like, honest to God.
Take your money. Put them in charge. It's like putting new management in charge. You get your slice of the pie, and they control most of it. Oh, yeah.
You know, when I was saying auto-patching, I remember there were a few things I think we missed on the PlayStation Plus thing. They did say that like one of the features coming to that is
that'll be
auto patching of the games and the firmware, even if you're a subscriber.
Yeah, that. Why wouldn't that?
That seems like a weird thing to be subscriber.
Yeah, why wouldn't that just be standard? That is crazy.
It's a hell of an incentive if you've ever tried to update your PS3 firmware. Because that's something people would actually pay for as a convenience. And then they did say, too, like, your full games are coming to that, not just free DLC, right?
Yeah, it's going to be, I think, yeah, they're trying to really make it a value. So they did say something along those lines. Also, if you, I know in the UK, just did a story on this, he said if you sign up, like, Wish, or in the next couple weeks, you get a free game. I can't remember what he said it was.
I think it was Wipeout or something.
Yeah, something along those lines. I don't know. I'll look it up while we're doing some other things. Let's see. What else do we have? I lost my list.
Does that take us to... Oh, there was Jaffe's reveal of Twisted Metal, which he totally wasn't making a month ago.
Yeah, what the hell was the deal with that?
Well, no, I actually saw his interview on G4 as part of their continuing coverage. And he said, like, yeah, I just lied. Because everyone kept asking him about it, and, like... It was pretty clear
he was
making
awesome.
The new Twisted Metal. So that's he just lied to get people off his back.
I do like David Jaffe. He's
a straight shooter.
I don't know.
His interview in the new EGM actually was really good.
Oh, that was one of the... Yes, that was a perfect way to reopen that magazine.
Yeah. But I was watching some gameplay footage. You know, it's you know, Twisted Metal on the PS3.
Yep, there's a Mafia 2 got some exclusive stuff as well, and Infamous 2 was revealed. So it's still Infamous. Character design still bothers me. I wish they would have kept it.
Yeah, that's what people keep saying. I think that just leaves us with GT5, right?
Yeah. Which just looked phenomenal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that game looks beautiful. I would find it... I would totally get PS3 just for that game. That's how beautiful that game is.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it...
Actually, I haven't gotten to see any of this yet.
It is real life.
Oh, my.
You think...
Is this real life?
Yes, is yeah. If you put this in front of the high little kid that just got back from the dentist, he's gonna freak out even more. You think like GT 4 or whatever GT HD, whatever they did, like what else can they do? I mean, it looks perfect now. This looks like there are times where it is a game, but those times are few and far between. Mm-hmm. Even when like the game's being played, like straight up, it is beautiful. Like and. I can't imagine like playing that, and they said that was 3D. Playing that with 3D, with that realistic graphics, it's going to be quite a thing. So it's a killer app for the PlayStation opinion. So.
See, here's like my big takeaway from the Sony conference is like they're very gung-ho 3D. I support that. I have always been a very strong supporter of everything 3D, movies, video games, everything. But the vast majority of people will not be ready to experience this for maybe 2 years.
Yeah, they are jumping on pretty early, which I guess is not...
You have to do it. I mean, someone has to start somewhere, I guess.
I mean, they stand to benefit more than 3D TV line that is going to be shooting out the stores more and more often.
But just, like, there's going to be a part of me, like, I mean, I'm not going to be able to get a 3D TV, like I said, probably 2 years or 3 years or something.
Yeah,
and
same here.
There's going to be a part of me that's going to be playing these games in the next year, and I'm going to feel like I'm being slighted. Like, I'm not experiencing this the way it should be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's, you know, how the HD experience was. I think a lot of us was over a while, and once we all updated to HD, we're like, okay, I'm caught up, now I'm good, and now it's sort of happening really quickly again, quicker than most of us expected.
I almost feel like it would have been an easier pill to swallow if it did go with a generational shift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the one hand, it is good that I don't have to buy new hardware, and that's $500 I could save towards my 3D
TV. Yeah, it probably makes more sense. They probably thought about that more than anything, but it would make more... Somewhere in the back of our like minds, and the animal part of our minds, be like, okay, well, just wait till then. Wait till I'm done with this system before you make that shift. But I mean, then again, the fact that they can do this, they are doing it, people that can do it will benefit from it. It's all a good thing. Like, sure, we are going to feel slighted, and we probably are being in a certain way, especially if like some of these games are really going to start focusing on the 3D, which I think is possible, but it's something of a backlash until 2 year period where everyone's supporting it. I think we're just gonna deal with it and move on. I do know that in like 3 months or 6 months we are going to be reading those articles where developers are going to be complaining, oh, they keep wanting us to focus on 3D. No one's buying these games because they're 3D TVs yet. Everyone's adopted 3D TVs. So That's how it goes. I mean, okay, well, what do you think? We've seen Microsoft, we've seen Nintendo, and we saw Sony. Who won? Who are you most excited for? I mean, that's a stupid question, but they are competing. They know they're competing, mm-hmm. and they compete for us and our mind share. Who won your mind share?
Nintendo. Like, honestly, just game for game, the only things like that Nintendo showed at their press conference that I will not be buying are, like, Wii Party and... I will have to see about the Mario Sports thing. But, like, everything else... You know, it's a game we didn't talk about. Was the Donkey Kong Country Revisited, whatever, being done by Retro.
You didn't mention that, but you didn't go into it too much. That...
Oh, it like it's like it looks like the Call of Duty of platformers with just a ton of shit going on. It's great. I love that. Like that'll be like I mean I watched all those game announcements and I was like, these are the people who rolled out the Vitality sensor last year. Wow. I mean, they didn't even the Vitality sensor nowhere to be seen. I actually think that might be dead.
I think it's quite possible. It seemed like a lot. Of, I mean, if it does, it's going to show up at Tokyo Game Show and it'll be in the corner. But a lot of people were saying it's like. Microsoft and Sony were a year behind, and Nintendo's like, okay, we got all the casual stuff out of our system. It's doing fine. We don't need to be beating that drum more at E3. That stuff's going to take care of itself. Let's get back to our core and make them happy and make sure that we're mm-hmm. keeping that base where it belongs. And, you know, it's something that Microsoft and Nintendo or Microsoft and Sony are going to realize for next year, but this year they were just off base.
Yeah. Because Nintendo, I mean, they're in a very fortunate position. They don't need Wii Fit 3. People are still buying Wii Fit Plus.
Keep buying it.
Like, why waste that development resource on an audience that's still buying something? Well, like you said, they can now afford to go back to us and say, okay, we're going to make some games for you guys now. We've got some time, you know?
Yeah, it's like the Wii Play and Mario Kart. Those are self-perpetuating at this point. Wii Fit's self-perpetuating. They don't have to worry about that at all anymore. They're just going to focus on us, which is great for
mm-hmm.
us.
And
it is why Microsoft and Sony suffered, because there was a lot of, oh, well, this isn't for us. Sony, not so much.
Yeah, Sony's show, what I'll say for them, I mean, even as I was reading it, I reached the end of my Google Reader feed, and I thought, like, there was more. I was like, wait, shouldn't it be, like, a really
Last Guardian.
Big... Yeah, like Last Guardian or something
Last
completely
Guardian, that's
new.
Exactly what you're thinking. That's what you're looking for.
Yeah,
where
aside
is that?
From the whole the Wizard game, whatever it's called, Nothing too surprising from Sony. It was all stuff we more or less knew about. Really.
Yeah,
it's solid, but it's hard to get excited about it in the same way that we did it, like Nintendo and even some of the Microsoft stuff, because it was you're like, oh yeah, that okay, let's see some more of it. That's good.
All right, they sort of gave Microsoft some of their own medicine when they said, oh, Portal 2 is also coming to us. Like,
but it's
Microsoft
just like that's
Final
that's
Fantasy
great, but you know what? Like,
year, but that's nothing for us.
Yeah,
we were going to get that no matter what.
And frankly, it doesn't matter if it's the best console version because I'm getting it on a PC.
Right. Yeah. So.
Also, can they please stop talking about the PS2? I read that there was a PS2 segment at the show, and I know it was short, but still, it's like really, really.
When the MPDs finally stopped reporting that, it was like, okay, we could put this to bed. It won't be talked about anymore.
Yeah,
that is surprising that they brought that back. But at least there was less charts. They didn't do a lot of charts this year, so
mm-hmm.
even in Little Big Planet.
To go back to Microsoft's, their core games were, again, stuff we all knew about, Gears and Halo and Call of Duty. The Kinect games, they were generally pretty hit or miss with everybody. I think Forza with it's going to be awesome. I'm excited for the Star Wars game. And I think all the stuff they showed... has potential for an audience, not necessarily us, but people will like it. Honestly, what I was really most excited about from Microsoft after I thought about it more is just all the interface applications of Kinect, the non-gaming things for it. And that stuff, to me, is really exciting. I understand why some people don't share my view, so they may disagree that I like my excitement for this product, I guess. But I'm really hyped up for it. I think it's going to be a really just... fun, cool way of navigating our content.
Yeah, it's probably going to be built in TVs, like a lot of people have said. I think
mm-hmm.
we're going to be using Kinect technology in TVs by the same time that we buy 3D TVs and gears. So, I'm excited for that possibility as well.
Also, too, it was announced after the Microsoft was at Ubisoft's presser, so I guess we could start dipping into that stuff now. They showed Mitsuguchi's new game. Child of Eden.
Yes, working with
Kinect support.
Yeah, which is basically Rez.
Oh.
Yes, it is. It's Rez 2. It's Rez with like a more Earth type art design, but still kind of that trippy stuff. It looked great. It's same music.
Well,
and
like
stuff.
I was watching that trailer, and I'm like, okay, this is sweet. Like, it's going to be Kinect controlled. I could totally visualize that, like using my hand to move the cursor around. That's kind of cool. But then the end of that trailer, where like best as I could tell, it looked like that guy was like purifying that weird tentacle thing that got sucked up by the purple goo by like scrubbing it around and throwing stuff at it. I can't tell you how many times I rewatched that. I literally sat at my computer last night just rewatching that and just thinking to myself how badly I want to do that. For some reason, that totally connected with me.
Oh,
there it is. Didn't even know. It's totally subconscious. But no, like, okay, this is going to be really weird, but I think this is why this appeals to me so much. You know, like, when you're in the shower, if you hold your hand out in front of you, water running down your arm then kind of, like, shoots off your pinky finger like you're shooting it?
Do I ever know that?
Thank
I love
you.
That.
Okay, see, when I was a little kid, I used to pretend that I was, like, this water-powered superhero shooting water
when
around.
You were a little kid,
like,
I did that you know, yesterday.
Well, yeah, I still do it. Like, if there's, like, soap suds or something on the shower curtain, I zap them off. But then you see this game where that guy is, like, throwing energy out of his hand into the game world to move this thing around. I think it, like, appeals to that same part of me that just wants to be able to shoot stuff around with my hand. The same way that Star Wars game, the thought of just thrusting my hand forward and force-pushing some stormtroopers, like, fuck yes, I want to do that so bad. So again, this I think is why Kinect is kind of more for me, I think. Like, I'm fine with stuff like that.
That is a good point. We've already the holding things with the Wii, and that's why maybe people aren't so big on the Move. Even though the Move might be the best of both technologies put together, because it does have the camera, you could do the force push using the iToy while holding the lightsaber in the other hand. But something about like forcing all the developers to put everything on your body as the controls seems like it's going to open up a lot of cool possibilities. So there's going to be some stuff there that I'm interested in. The way you did put that right there, that does sound pretty cool, and that does sound fun.
Let's see, what else was big at the Ubisoft presser? I don't think we need to go
through
detail.
There's just a Brotherhood.
Everyone keeps telling me, I haven't been able to find footage of it. I missed this live on TV too, but I guess this new Shaun White skateboarding game is like some weird combination of like Okami and skateboarding.
Okami to the point where everything's gray and you skate and things light up with colors because you're bringing life back to this corporate world. It was really bad to watch.
This game brought to you by Shaun White, who is a sponsor of Target.
Yes, exactly. And it's just it's Tony Hawk's like underground, like circa 2004, and like that sort of like storyline in your skateboarding game. Although it does, and it did have this like weird Mod Nation Racers sort of thing where you can go and form and build like your own ramps and stuff as you're skating and change the world as you're playing, which could be interesting, but it seemed weird. It just didn't really register with anyone, definitely not with me. I don't know.
Mike seems to be kind of impressed by this after he saw it, so I still haven't been able to find video of it yet. I'll try to track it down eventually.
Yeah, but when I wrote my news story about it, that's it. I wrote, it's that. It's skating mixed with Okami with the Foundation race. Just kind of try to imagine all those together, if you can.
Fun. See, they had the new Ghost Recon Future Soldier, which has 4-player co-op.
Yeah, it will
looks
be.
Looks pretty solid. Oh, God, the new Rayman.
That was good. That, like,
oh,
in terms of art style and just pure beauty, it's right up there with Kirby for me. Although,
well, I was explaining it to my brother Chris the other night, and the way I kind of described it, it's like the original Rayman with a dash of Rocko's Modern Life thrown in.
Yeah, okay, I see that.
Do you see that? I do see that. Yeah, just because it's a little bit goofier than the original Rayman was. It kind of had even like maybe a little bit of Ren and Stimpy in there too, just like the way they kind of characterize Rayman and Glowbox and their relationship
with
each other.
Yeah, they're just sort of like...
And the way that they're just
kind of laughing
like
the whole time
and
not taking anything seriously.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one's kind of like a bit dim.
Oh my
like,
God, go. I want that so bad.
It just looked so beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. The other thing I was saying too on Twitter, I think silhouettes are the new lens flares.
Yes, silhouettes. Donkey Kong had
all kinds of games. And
Limbo
looks great.
Is all silhouettes, which looks great. I mean, it's a great
style. Yeah, Shank is using silhouettes in it. I think it's fun.
I don't think there are ugly games anymore. I think we're done.
No, I think we're finally past that.
Like, everyone's just sort of realizing, you know, if we don't have the best graphical like powerhouse behind our game, we can go the art route. Or if we do have the best powerhouse, we can do whatever we want. And everything's just looking really good.
Of course, everyone was disappointed that there's no Beyond Good and Evil 2.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be. I think we have to put that behind us.
I don't either. I don't think we need it. I mean, really, what would a Beyond Good and Evil 2 sequel
be? It would be... Yeah. The first one, just you can go back and play that pretty much any time. It was made right at that point where the graphics were almost timeless. Music certainly timeless. It's good enough. It's going to... Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could just keep going back and play that when we need it.
So, yeah, I think that's... pretty much the big stuff from Ubi, at least to me.
Just Dance 2.
So that's pretty much all the big stuff from Ubisoft. I mean, I will say real quick, now that I've seen the Harmonix's dance game on the Kinect, why would you want to do one that only tracks a single Wii remote?
Yeah, but I think, I can't remember who said it, I think it was John Davison said, you know, a lot of people that play those games don't want to be judged based on everything. They just sort of want to feel like they're doing all the dance moves perfectly right, and they don't want to be like, your knee wasn't in the perfect position. So
see, but then, I mean, I played Just Dance once at a Best Buy, and I was doing it right, but it couldn't tell, and it was telling me I was doing it wrong.
Okay, fair enough.
Like, no, you asshole.
Yeah, that's bad. All right, fair enough. I haven't really played a lot of it. So.
Let's not get into the dance game debate here.
What about Jackson, though?
That was like kind of like a non-announcement. It's like, yes, we're doing something with a Michael Jackson license.
And it was just a bunch of music and dancing, so I'm going to assume it's a Just Dance game, but they can't call it Just Dance because it's Just Dance is like, I think Nintendo made a deal with them. They only come out on Nintendo Wii. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah,
it'll
we're done with dance games.
Sure,
sorry about that.
We'll flock to it. Anyway, EA. Let's see. I don't know. What did they really show? We were like kind of both. I was editing and you were reporting while like the EA thing was going on.
Oh yeah, like crazy last night.
I can't remember. I was shocked kind of that there wasn't really more Rock Band there or at any of the conferences.
Yeah, that's right. I guess I could say it now. There was supposed to be Kinect support for Rock Band 3. So
really,
I'm not sure what they did with that. Yeah, but I mean, at least that's what a birdie told me at PAX. The guy that told me all about the keyboard and the guitar and stuff like that. And all that's panned out. So. Maybe they felt maybe they should take a 1D before they commit to the Kinect.
Yeah. They did show EA Sports Active 2 for the 360 using Kinect.
That looks really good.
Yeah, I'm trying to decide in my head if that one or the Yourself Fitness from Ubisoft is going to be the kind of Kinect sport like training game to go to.
Yeah, they're going to... Yeah, true. It'll probably be one of those wait and sees as well. But they both look like they're going to have a lot of potential.
Let's see, what else did they show? There is the Medal of Honor beta is kicking off on the 21st. 17th, if you pre-order Medal of Honor and already own Battlefield Bad Company 2.
Sign up for Gun Club as well.
What is Gun Club? Like, it seems weird to me. They have this Gun Club thing that's clearly using art from the game Gun, but there is no new Gun game. Like, you thought that would have gone along with that announcement.
It is a super weird branding of basically it's their... You sign up club if you want all their information. It's a rewards program for all of their games. And if you go to gunclub.ea.com, and if you've played Battlefield Bad Company or you own it or whatever, you can get into the beta sooner or later. It was really just weird because it was called Gun Club, and that was super confusing. I'm like, okay, is it just about your shooters? But no, it's about all EA games. And you'll get rewards. And the first example of what a reward is, and this is the only example they really gave, was getting into the bit early. They kind of just emphasized that. So.
Like, it sounds like it might be their kind of stab at Uplay, which is Ubisoft's thing like that.
I mean, it might be. It would just.
I just think it's weird branding, and it's a little. I don't know. Why does it have to be Gun Club? A lot of these games don't even have guns.
Right. That was what was so confusing about it. I don't know how that's going to translate to all EA's games, but they're like, you know, kind of like a gun club when people get together and they have their thing, and that's what games are like. I'm like, okay. I thought we were beyond it.
Yeah. There was no Mirror's Edge 2.
Yeah, that was one of the big rumors beforehand, too.
think a lot of people were calling that one. Yeah, there's also no Mass Effect 3, and I didn't think there'd be. The new one just came out.
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
It's going to be at least another year off before we even hear about it. I'm trying to think what else EA really had. They had, like, they showed their sports games. I guess the MMA game has some crazy broadcasting feature in it.
Yeah, live broadcasting.
I don't really care. Really
figure out what they meant by that. We have a...
Yeah. Madden looks interesting. It's just I think they did a terrible job of showing it. I didn't need Joe Montana to come out and show it.
I don't even know what Joe Montana said. Like, he was just, like, talking about football, and it didn't really...
Well, and again, too, on the G4 feed of it, like, it was video of him talking. They weren't showing the game.
Right, yeah.
It's like, I know what Joe Montana looks like. I can extrapolate what his face is doing as words come out of it. Show the footage that he's referring to, please.
I've seen a human being before. Please stop. Yeah, it was. Yeah. So the big news there was game flow, which some people have talked about. It's supposed to cut the time of playing the game.
I like this.
I agree. It makes you more a player getting plays piped into you, and it's telling you what the defense is doing. If you can't always see it, if you're not a football genius, you're going to be able to play like a football genius, and it's going to make it.
Yeah,
because
this is for guys like me who, like, when I play Madden and it's play calling time, I just go to ask Madden and pick a play there. Like, I don't know what the hell I'm doing, and the game that never made any effort to teach you what to do. And
right, they put, like, how many, like, the defensive backs are going to be on the field, like, 3, and that's all the information it gives you, and you're supposed to base your entire call based on that.
Yeah, it's like, I had no clue what to do. So I like this, and it seems like this guy actually could teach you some play calling after you play a few games with it, and the old calling system's still in there for those who like it, too, so it's win-win-win.
Yep.
I'm also very excited that they're having, like, the coach talking to you through the headset that you're actually wearing when you play the game, because I think that's a really underutilized thing in gaming. It was awesome. Even when Manhunt did it. I don't like Manhunt, but I did like that about it. there was another sports game. EA Active, I guess. So, yeah, that was pretty much EA. Yeah, Nintendo... The surprising but very welcome winners of E3 so far, I would say.
Yeah, I think we hold them to a different standard because we expect them to do different things. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of brought a bunch of their colorful games, and if Microsoft tried to do that, they practically did do that, just with motion control, and we sort of got mad at them. But I don't know. Nintendo did exactly what we wanted them to do, and Microsoft and Sony just kind of got off tracks a little bit, although again, Sony not so much.
Right. So let's see, you got any other just random E3 things to talk about?
Not yet. There's going to be a coverage, guys. If you guys, anyone's looking for any information, just head to combo.com. We are working our asses off. Like, when I'm not working my day job, actually, when I am working my day job on this, I was doing news stories while I was working today. It was crazy. So check us out. We're working hard. We appreciate the hits. So.
Oh, wow. So I'm looking over at combo.com where Daniel Sims has just updated that Nintendo has actually confirmed Ocarina of Time is coming to 3DS.
Did they confirm this? Because I did the rumor last night.
It is confirmed.
And I was like, there's no way this is real.
Nope, it's real.
Where did they oh my God. That is awesome. Yeah.
That is freeze. That okay, that just
sold. Have you seen the like did people. He put up all the rest of the pictures? Hang on.
Let's look.
He only has the one
engaging
picture.
Radio.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I think it looks really good. I think it looked like they changed a little bit. It's a good fun. Yeah, he put up the one picture.
It's just a picture of Link riding Epona in silhouette.
I think there's silhouette and lens flare, so they should represent it now.
Yeah. I did want to say, too, I know Aaron Greenberg was from Microsoft was getting on Twitter to say that all retail listing and prices for Kinect are purely speculative.
They're not doing a good enough job.
So I think they're trying to get in front of everybody, assuming it is, in fact, $150, which, you know, maybe it won't be. Because you might want to figure, if they truly, in fact, have not announced anything, and you're GameStop and Amazon, you want to start taking pre-orders for this. Probably better for you to highball it, and then when your customer gets the thing, be like, oh, no, it's actually cheaper than to... Say, yeah, it's going to be $100, and then people pre-order it, and then you have to say, oh, it's actually $150. You still want to buy it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
So maybe they are just trying to do a worst-case scenario until they get official information.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the only reason to do this themselves is probably if they don't know. I mean, why else wouldn't they just come out and say it and stop the speculation?
Oh, wow, that does look good. You just sent me the Ocarina of Time screenshots.
Yeah, we have this up on... Combo as well. It's one of the earlier stories in the day that I did it as a rumor. It looks like they sort of just upgraded and smoothed out the graphics. It's not blurry. It looks like an updated N64 game with some cleaner art. Mono looks pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm excited now. Man.
Maybe I'll finally beat that game. I never got past the water dungeon. I hated that so bad.
Oh, man. I did not understand why everyone had a problem with the water dungeon.
It drove me nuts. It's just because the interface for switching your boots off and on is so cumbersome. That's one thing I like in the new Zelda. It's just a radial selection thing. I'll take that.
Wait, which is that what they have in this one?
And then Ocarina of Time, I don't know. But yeah, in the new Zelda for Wii, you just hold down B and a radial thing comes up.
Swing it in one or something like that. I thought that was what they did. Like, he looked like he was like picking it out of his pocket. Either way, it's going to be better. It's going to be a much quicker item selection.
Right. Also, I got to see some gameplay footage of Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
Yes, I posted that up as well. How good does
that
look?
Yes.
That looks so, it's quick. It's beautiful. It looks like it's 60 frames per second the entire time. It looks good.
I like the they have now these like team air combos in the game that are just crazy.
Yeah,
how you can like hot swap team members mid combo in the air.
Yeah, Chris Redfield comes out. It's like kicking someone like 30 feet in the air. It's crazy, crazy shit. I don't know. Did they do this in Marvel vs. Capcom 2? Where they had like the dude and the fight with like the eight H's.
Yeah, they did have the announcer. I don't think he was shouting.
Yeah, because like, he says like says dude kind of and funny. He has like dude like written out in like comic book lettering. It's pretty fun. So I don't know. I think that game looks great.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be phenomenal. I also did watch G4 had some gameplay from Portal 2. Holy crap.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Some of the stuff they're introducing to the portal mechanics are amazing. Like, I would have never thought of. There's these weird, like, beams of light in the game that when you jump into them, they're almost like kind of very slow floating conveyor belts. And of course, if you shoot a portal at the end of that beam of light, it comes out the other side. So there's a lot of traversing the environment in every which way by connecting this beam of light and through portals to get up to where you need to go. They also showed it part 2. It was really cool where there's like these big kind of like suction pipes or something, like basically giant vacuums. So again, they put a portal at the base of where this thing was sucking out air, and then another portal across from a turret. The turret got sucked into the portal and then into this pipe on the other side, and then the wall paneling got sucked off the wall and through the portal as well, opening up a new hallway to go through. It was really cool looking.
Man, that game. I'm excited for that game. But it's like, I know I'm going to get it, so it's like not one I'm like too worried about catching up on.
It was cool to hear.
That
sounds like something. I think it was Doug Lombardi who was talking on G4. The single-player campaign in Portal 2 is twice as long as the first game's single-player. There's also a completely unique, separate co-op campaign the same length as the single-player campaign.
Whoa.
So I think people worried about there not being enough content in the game, if it is like a full-blown $50, $60 game, I think we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone should have been really concerned about that, because they're going to support the crap out of this once it's released as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They always do.
Oh, just one quick more thing. We have the studies and observations of Miyamoto's cat was the main source of inspiration for Cats Nintendogs plus Cats. So,
yeah, shocking. Miyamoto designed put cats into his dog game by looking at a cat.
That's new for Miyamoto.
Great to know.
It's going to be – I can't imagine that's going to be like. They're going to have to make cats act like dogs in a game of fun, or otherwise the cats are just going to be like, whatever.
Yeah, cats don't listen.
Yeah, they
to
don't give a fuck. Cats. They got their own shit going on. Welcome to Cat Fancy.
Nice. Yes.
That's our new podcast. All right, yeah. Well, we have anything else?
I think that kind of does it for me for now. I think this is a very good E3 so far. I'm enjoying it.
Yes. Even with Microsoft's press conference, I think letting some people down, I wasn't too let down.
No,
by
I wasn't
it.
Either.
There's plenty of stuff going on the floor as well to be excited about.
It is almost a shame that Mike was not here yesterday, because by his own admission, he would have been screaming at me yesterday. Well, he got mad at me for liking the Star Wars thing. But
what?
Here's the thing. Like, I talked about it last summer with Wii Sports Resort and the sword game and that, which, you know, Mike's like, oh, it's just like on rails and you're swinging a lightsaber around. There's no feedback. That's what the sword game in Wii Sports Resort was. It was just on rails, and you just kind of swung at shit. I love that. I had so much fun with that.
Right.
And now you're going
to... Yeah, me too. That was really well done. How else are they going to do feedback? Like,
I know,
you're not going to be having a one-on-one like Darth Vader lightsaber duel. They're probably going to be doing similar things to that, where you're just killing a bunch of stormtroopers.
Yeah, I know. You take that, you Star Wars skin it, and you also give me ability to wave my hand around and use the Force? Yes. 1,000 times yes.
Yeah. I mean, like, why not just do that? Sure, it's not going to be perfect. Like, we're not going to get feedback. Like, no one expects that. But, you know, don't let the perfect be the enemy of, the really fucking awesome.
All right. So, are we good?
I think we're good. Yeah, there's a few other smoke at this point. We could do that all night, so we might as well just wrap it up. If there's anything else that we missed that was big, we'll do up show later this week.
Yeah, well, we'll have our usual scheduled show this Friday. It'll probably go up late Friday night. It'll be just kind of an E3 wrap-up of everything else that'll happen this week. Probably, you know, there's still room for a few more surprise announcements. You never know what's going to happen. It's E3. It's crazy.
Yeah, Ocarina of Time just came out.
So, yeah, until then, you know, check us out at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com and subscribe to the show at the iTunes Music Store and the Zune Marketplace. And follow our escapades at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. Also, like you said, we've brought back the Squadron of Shame Squawk Box at squadronofshame.wordpress.com, which is a great place to go in for some... It's almost like Twitter, just with the Squadron of Shame without the 140-character limit. It's kind of fun. I missed it. I didn't realize how much I missed it until Pete brought this thing back. And it's been really great for E3, so jump in there, have some fun with that. Jeff Grubb is doing a bang-up job doing some news reporting at combo.com, along with Pete Davison.
With Pete and Daniel Sims and Bill Schmidt.
Yeah.
And Ryan Gunn. We rule this fucking
head. You pretty much are its Lord and Masters.
Yeah, we try.
So yeah, hope you guys are enjoying E3. I know I am. For Jeff Grubb, I'm AJ, and talk to you next time. So,
ciao.
Still trying to come up with a sign-off for myself. I think I like talk to you next time.
It's still weird to hear you host.
I know, it's strange.